He may be bad at sports, but he loves talking about them. You're listening to the Gallatin Valley Sports Show on KGVM.
This week. Welcome to the Gallatin Valley Sports Show here on KGVM. Once again, my name is Ian Laird. You can reach us at kgvm.org or 95.9 FM on the radio dial. Gallatin Valley Sports Show is brought to you by Spectator Sports Bar and Grill. Countless TVs. You could probably count them, but I just say countless because there's a lot of them, but I'm sure they're countable. It's not like they can't count. Catch all the NFL games and college games located at 19 Ty Lane up by the MSU campus. Phone number is 587-2156. That is Spectator Sports Bar and Grill, located next to the liquor spot where the tailgating continues. Lots to cover this week, including Hawks win big on the road to start the season. KGVM's inaugural Hawks football broadcast. We'll talk about that throughout the hour as well. Valley Sports started up this week for teams in B and C, and some of the smaller schools around started up this, well, will start this week. And also, Cats Fall and Texas Tech now face a top 15 team at home. So a big test last week. One they fell to, but we all kind of expected that. Now they come right back and play number 12 in the country, but it is at home for Gold Rush. We'll talk about that here in a little bit as well. But first, of course, as always, national news in the NFL. NFL starts tonight with Green Bay Packers versus the Bears in Chicago. Kickoff is scheduled for 6:20 Mountain Time. Main story of this game is, can Aaron Rodgers get along with the new coach? He's never had a different coach than Mike Montgomery. He has a new one, LaFleur, this year. Can he get along with him? Is he allowed to call his own plays? Everyone's sick of talking about it. Aaron Rodgers didn't play a snap in the preseason, so nobody really knows how he's going to look. But he's Aaron Rodgers, so I'm sure he'll be completely fine. The other line is, can Mitch Trubisky do just enough to not destroy the amazing defense that the Bears have for the Bears offense to succeed? Trubisky's basically just a game manager at this point. Doesn't really have to do a lot. Just don't mess up the game completely. Let your defense kind of take over, and we'll see how that goes. But that all starts tonight, the first regular season game. Again, that's Green Bay Packers versus the Bears at 6:20. In other NFL news, Antonio Brown finally has a helmet. Brown was upset with the league not allowing him to wear his Shut Air Adventure helmet, the only helmet he has worn in his NFL career, because it was older than 10 years old, then therefore no longer certified. Therefore, if he gets a concussion, he can sue the NFL. They don't want that. They want to make sure players are safe. Antonio Brown's all about himself, and so he didn't really care about that. He lost both appeals. So we'll see. On Wednesday, Brown announced that he will wear the Zenith Shadow helmet this season, believing it makes him feel more agile and comfortable while allowing him better visibility. I don't know how agility is affected by a football helmet. I can see it with pads or shoes or pads, but not a helmet, for God's sakes. That just doesn't make any sense to me at all, but I'm fat and bald and not playing in the NFL. Well, it turns out, I wrote down in my notes while I was writing this today that I gave him about 5 or 6 games before the Raiders suspended him because he's a moron. It turns out I was way off on my prediction. Breaking news just came out that the Raiders have suspended Antonio Brown because of a message that he left. ESPN is reporting Mike Mayock got into a heated exchange Wednesday, and the team is now planning to suspend its star wide receiver, lead sources told ESPN's Adam Schefter. Length of the suspension is not immediately known, as the Raiders are still weighing their options, sources also told Schefter. So not only a day after he finally got a helmet that he supposedly liked or could deal with because it makes him more agile, he got in a fight with his GM. Sources say they also tried to punch the GM, and Vontaze Burfict, of all people, one that punched Antonio Brown in a football game, was the one that actually held him back. So interesting development there, not really surprising in any way at all, because like we said, Antonio Brown is a moron. So I thought it would take 5 or 6 games before the Raiders got tired of his crap. It turned out it took less than 1. Other NFL news, the Detroit Lions are also starting their season this weekend. Of course, my favorite team, the Lions. They play Arizona Cardinals in Phoenix. Kickoff is scheduled for 2:25 on Sunday. There's a very good chance they're going to win that one. Going away, they'll probably win their first 4 and then lose the next 7 because I'm a Lions fan and that's just pretty much what we expect. Lastly, in NFL news, Alex Singleton was cut from the Philadelphia Eagles last Saturday. Then he signed with their practice squad the next day. Singleton led the Eagles in tackles and tackles for losses as a linebacker. So total tackles he led them at. and he led all linebackers with tackles for losses in the preseason. He did everything that I think he could, but I guess it wasn't enough for him to make the final 53-man roster. Kind of shocked. Another team didn't pick him up. There's a lot of linebacker injuries out there, and so it's odd to me that nobody else stepped up and said, hey, Alex Singleton's a hell of a player. We should maybe put him in our roster. But they didn't, and he still has a chance. He's with the practice squad. Hopefully he can stick around there. If there are injuries, there's two injured linebackers already for the Eagles that happened earlier on in preseason. They think they might be back now, which, of course, hurt his chances as well. But if he can stay on the practice squad, any injury, he's one play away from being moved up to the 53 and kind of prove himself, a la Dane Fletcher. He never went to the practice squad, but he was kind of a last option at linebacker, and then he proved himself on special teams and then got some linebacker play. So good luck to Alex Singleton, the Montana State grad. Hopefully he sticks around with the Eagles. If he doesn't, hopefully some team other than the Eagles pulls their head out of their butts and signs him anyways. Moving on to basketball news. As expected, Team USA routed Japan in its first pool play game of the FIBA World Cup. That was going on Thursday and set up one of the most anticipated matchups of the tournament. That will come this Saturday when Americans relocate to Shenzhen, China. Sure, that's probably right. For the first game of the second round, which is against Greece, with the reigning NBA Most Valuable Player, Giannis Antetokounmpo, on the Greece team. So, should be a great matchup. This win came just a few days after Team USA escaped with an overtime victory over Turkey. Yeah, Turkey. And it took Turkey missing four free throws in the last 10 seconds of the game for USA even to tie it to send it into overtime. And then they wrapped it up. This isn't the dream team of my youth, that's for sure. Dream team of my youth beat teams by 80 points. Nobody's afraid of the dream team, quote-unquote dream team now. But we'll have to see how they do against Giannis. I don't think the rest of the Greece team is that great, but Giannis is a stud. And so hopefully USA will win. I hate to root against USA because it's USA. You always got to wear the colors. But Giannis could prove a very, very tough matchup for them. Finally, in college football, top 25 of the FBS poll stayed pretty much the same, only Florida falling to from number 8 to 11 after a very sloppy victory over Miami in two weeks ago. It was actually week 0, they called it, in college football. It really should have been week 1. And then last week was week 1, but they didn't play in week 1. So now they're going to play in week 2. Because they played in week 0 for their second game. You figure that out, people. It's like when they call the NCAA March Madness tournament, this is round 2. No, it's just round 1. Stop making play-in games around and everything else. It's very, very confusing. Auburn also moved up, by the way, moving back onto the point, from 16 to number 10 with their last-second victory over Oregon. And Justin Herbert, who, by the way, again, I mentioned this last week, was 2 days away from being a Bobcat before Oregon signed him, and now he's going to be maybe the number one pick in the NFL. Again, I digress. Auburn beat him. They fell from 11 to 16, so basically those two teams swapped places. Oregon, I can't remember who they play this week, but next week they're going to clobber the University of Montana Grizzlies, and everyone will be happy about that. We will take a quick break and come back with a look at high school sports from the past week. Once again, tomorrow night, we have our very first ever Hawks football game live on KGVM, starting at 7 o'clock. Matt Brownlow will join me in the booth as the Bozeman Hawks take on Missoula Big Sky Eagles. Once again, that is tomorrow night, live right here on KGVM 95.9 FM or KGVM.org on the interwebs. That is brought to you by Ridge Athletic Club and Spectator Sports Bar and Grill and the Liquor Spot. This is the Gallatin Valley Sports Show on KGVM.
Go. He may be fat and bald, but he knows it's sports. You're listening to the Gallatin Valley Sports Show on KGVM.
Kill off the hours. You belong.
Welcome back to the Gallatin Valley Sports Show here on KGVM. Kind of miss Tom Petty. That's the, really, I don't have a purpose. Normally, there's a purpose to everything that I play. I didn't have one there. I just kind of like that song. So there you go. Once again, this is Ian Laird. You can reach me at kgvm.org or 95.9 FM on your radio dial. Also on the tweeters, at IanLaird3/KGVMSports. If you have any questions or want to complain about my babbling, you can go to any of those places and do it. Once again, the Gallatin Valley Sports Show is brought to you by Spectator Sports Bar and Grill with countless TVs. Catch all the NFL games located at 19 Ty Lane by the MSU campus. Phone number is 587-2156. That is Spectator Sports Bar and Grill, where the tailgating continues. Before we get into some of the high school games that went on this last week, and the ones coming up this weekend as Manhattan starts and some other ones start, I thought we could take a look at the very first rankings for the year. We'll start with AA. Billings West is number one. All these teams are 1-0 because all the AA teams played. A lot of the Class B and C teams are 0-0, but they're still ranked because of last year. So I digress. AA right now, Billings West is number one, followed by Butte, Helena Capital, Missoula Sentinel, who has, again, the transfer from Phillipsburg. Jax, I can't remember his last name. But anyways, he's a stud. He's going to play for the University of Montana Grizzlies. Sentinel actually got fined $100, a whole whopping $100, for basically recruiting him from Phillipsburg to move to Missoula to play for Sentinel. So see how Jackson Lee, that's his name, see how he does this year. But Missoula Sentinel with him, he ran for like 300 yards last week, should be really, really good. Bozeman rounds out the top five at number five. Again, they are 1-0, coming off a loss to Kalispell in the playoffs last year. We'll get into their rematch that they did for the first game last week here shortly. And Belgrade, by the way, now in AA, not ranked in the top five, not surprising. They start off with a murderer's row of teams. They played Butte High last week and lost. We'll talk about that in a little bit, but played number two Butte High last week. This week, they play number one and state defending champs Billings West. So good luck to Belgrade. The scheduling committee didn't do them any favors to start off their AA career. Moving on to Class A, no real teams locally to talk about. Hamilton is number one, followed by Billings Central, Laurel, Frenchtown, and Polson. All of them are 1-0, except for Billings Central, who's 0-0. Like I said, nobody because of Belgrade moving. We don't have a lot of local A teams. Livingston, Townsend, probably the closest A schools to us, and they are not known for their prowess. Well, I think Townsend's actually B, now that I think about it. But Livingston and Lewistown, I guess, would be the closest for A. None of them are that good at football, so don't expect to see them too much. In Class B, again, nobody really local. Manhattan does come in at number nine, but Loyola Sacred Heart is number one, followed by Fairfields, Colstrip, Eureka, Huntley Project, Florence at number six, and we'll talk about that in a second as well. That'll be a good matchup this weekend. Red Lodge at number seven, Townsend at eight, so they are B, I was right. Nine with Manhattan, and 10 is Glasgow. Should be a good matchup this weekend to start the season tomorrow night between Manhattan and Florence, but we'll go over that here in a little bit as well. Class C eight-man, Fairview, Shelby, Clark's Fork slash Albertson slash Superior. It's like CJI all over again. Great Falls Central, Flint Creek, Fort Belknap, Arlee, Culbertson, Belt, and Centerville are the top 10. And then you go into six-man football, which, by the way, if you've never watched six-man football, it's awesome. They score like 100 points each because there's no defense. Everyone, including the center, is eligible to catch a pass. It's basically like an entire 40-minute game of 500 that you used to play as a kid. If you get a chance, go watch Class C. It's a lot of fun. Kids aren't that big. It's not like AA ball or anything else, but everyone plays. Everyone catches the ball. You'll see some crazy stats in some of those games. Number one in that is Weibo, then Big Sandy, Hot Springs, Lambert, White Sulphur Springs, a little local there, Hobson, Moore, Judith Gap, Power Dutton Brady. And then it goes down, blah, blah, blah. Valley Christian is at 9 and 10, I guess, is another somewhat local team. Shields Valley comes in at 10. They are 1-0 on the season. So moving back to local action from last week, we'll start here in Bozeman in football in a rematch of last year's playoff loss to the Hawks. Came out with a vengeance against Flathead High in Kalispell last week. Bozeman didn't start dominating until the second half, but it was all they really needed, and they commanded pretty much the whole game, and especially in the second half, midway through the first quarter. Luke Fedrick blocked a punt, and Asher Croy scored a touchdown for the Hawks following the possession, while Bozeman didn't pull away until the second half, like we said. Bozeman Hawks now 1-0, positioned themselves well, an eventual 35-0 season-opening victory over Kalispell Flathead. After possessing 7-point lead at half, so basically 7-0, Bozeman separated in the second half. First-time starting quarterback Jake DiAgostino, you know the name DiAgostino, they've been playing for the Cats for probably 50 years. He ripped off a run for 70 yards and then set up a Croy score. Later in the third quarter, Carter Ash, known for his sharp shooting in basketball, returned a punt for a touchdown. DiAgostino finished 8 of 14 in passing with 172 yards rushing as well. So congratulations to the Hawks on the victory and I guess getting vengeance against Flathead for last year's loss in the playoffs. This week, Hawks will take on again Missoula Big Sky, who have their wings clipped last week, the Eagles did, by Billings West. I think it was 48-10 or something like that. They got destroyed. Game will be set up at 7 o'clock, and you can hear it once again live right here on KGVM. In soccer news, the soccer team started their season last week with a home victory over Billings Senior Broncos. After blowing a two-goal halftime lead, Bozeman moved back in front to win 6-3. On Saturday, again, that was at Bozeman High. Will Kaiser finished with two goals, while Luke Price and Nolan Robbins scored one each, as the Broncos also allowed two own goals. You don't see that a lot in the game. So the boys won. Hawks will now play Billings Skyview tomorrow night. That is in Billings. In ladies soccer, the Hawks ladies also took on Billings Senior to open the season, coming from behind in theirs to defeat the Broncos 2-1. Hawks' winning goal came from Madeline Kelly in the 57th minute, and was assisted by Addie Ekstrom, the star senior for Bozeman High, who scored the first goal for the Hawks in the 30th minute of the game. So the Hawks win 2-1. Congratulations, sweeping Billings Senior this week. This coming up week, the Lady Hawks Kickers will travel to Billings as well on Friday, take on Billings Skyview Falcons. Their game is set for 5 o'clock, with the boys' game shortly after that. On to Spikers and volleyball for the Hawks. The Hawks Spikers started their season this past week with a loss to Helena Capital in Helena. Lost 25-14, 25-23, 25-18, so got swept. This was a rematch of last year's championship game. The Hawks struggled defending Danny Barchich and Paige Barchich. Good luck saying those names again, who helped lift the Bruins to the state title a year ago. So Hawks hung in there. They couldn't get the win. They were close in the second set, but it's tough when you play your very first game against the defending state champs. This week, the Hawks will face Billings Skyview at home tonight. Match is scheduled to start at 7 o'clock. Yikes. In golf, both the boys and girls Hawks teams are going on as we speak at the Butte Invitational. Both Hawks squads entered today's round in the lead, with the girls up 9 strokes over Butte High, while the boys a little more comfortable, 22-stroke lead after day one. Over second place Helena Capital. So good luck to the boys and girls. That should be wrapping up any time now. I can't imagine that they both didn't win, but we'll cover that again next week when we come back. Moving on to Belgrade, down I-90 in football. There were flashes of great play throughout the contest and offensive consistency moving the ball, but Bobcat signee Tommy Millett spoiled Belgrade's introduction into Class AA Friday night at Narachi Stadium. Butte High quarterback, who was committed to play for Montana State University in July, threw 5 touchdown passes to lead the Bulldogs to a 46-20 season-opening victory over the Panthers. 4 of those scores came in the first half as Millett exploited some mismatches in the secondary. Again, a lot of people said, well, they're the same size and everything else. It won't be that big of a deal moving to AA. It's the depth that gets you. Butte High probably has 3 wide receivers that are as good as the first starting DBs for Belgrade. It's going to take some time, people, but there were some flashes. Belgrade was led by QB Dyson Chaney, who scored on a 16-yard QB run, then later threw a 31-yard touchdown pass to Tate Bowler. This week, it doesn't get any easier, like we said earlier, for the Panthers as they take on defending state champ and number 1 in the state this year, Billings West. That game is in Belgrade. Kickoff is scheduled for 7 o'clock Friday night. In girls soccer for the Panthers, both the Lady Panther soccer teams, boys and girls teams, will open their season in a match against CMR Wrestlers. That match is starting tonight at 6 o'clock at the Belgrade High School, followed by the match of Great Falls High School Saturday at noon. at Siebel Soccer Park. So tomorrow, or tonight, excuse me, they play at 6 o'clock in Belgrade. Then they travel on Saturday to Great Falls to play the University, or the Great Falls High School, not CMR, Bison. Again, that is at Siebel Soccer Park. So good luck to the Lady Panthers and the Men Panther soccer teams as they start their seasons tonight and on Saturday. Moving on to Manhattan, Manhattan High School. The Manhattan Tigers will open their 2019 schedule with a home game versus number 6 Florence. Again, a big matchup, number 6 against number 9. That'll kind of show how Manhattan has progressed after their second round loss in the playoffs. They beat Eureka in the first round and then lost in the second. We'll see how they can compete against Florence, who made it to the semifinals last year. That kickoff is scheduled for Friday night at 7 o'clock. In volleyball, for just the second time since it began in 2012, Manhattan's volleyball team won their season opening quad. I don't really know what a quad is, but it says that's what it was called. The Tigers went 2-1 in the pool play at the Manhattan Fall Quad Volleyball Invitational Tournament. That's a lot of words. And then beat Belgrade's JV and Jefferson in the bracket play en route to claiming the championship. Coming off a 9-12 campaign last year, which included reaching the Southern B Divisionals, Manhattan is fielding a fairly new team this fall after 5 seniors were lost to graduation. But they're starting out very, very well. Tigers dropped just 2 sets all day, both in the District 5B rival Jefferson en route to winning the title. This week, Manhattan will begin conference play Thursday at Three Forks. Contest was originally scheduled to be held in Manhattan, but switched to Three Forks because of, I think it was construction issues or something like that. The teams will meet again in Manhattan on October 3rd. Manhattan Christian and / Three Forks Volleyball, since they were in the same tournament. Manhattan Christian Volleyball got off to a good start over the weekend at the Shodo Invitational and then finished strong despite losing a starter to a concussion. You don't hear a lot of concussions in volleyball, but I guess they're diving around pretty good. The Eagles placed 3rd in the 2-day event, sweeping Shelby's 25-15, 25-13. That's right, they only play 2 sets in high school in the consolation match Saturday afternoon. The annual season opening tournament featured more than a dozen teams, including Three Forks. Three Forks earned a 6th place finish after losing to District 5B rival Townsend in the 5th place match 24-26 and 20-25. We'll take a quick break and come back with a look at high school sports from the past week, MSU sports from the past week. Once again, tomorrow night, you will have the first ever Hawks football game live on KGVM starting at 7 o'clock. Matt Brownlow will join me in the booth as the Hawks take on Missoula Big Sky Eagles. Once again, that is tomorrow night, live right here on KGVM, brought to you by the Ridge Athletic Club and Spectator Sports Bar and the Liquor Spot. This is the Gallatin Valley Sports Show on KGVM.
You're listening to the Gallatin Valley Sports Show on KGVM.
Welcome back to the Gallatin Valley Sports Show here on KGVM. My name is Ian Laird. Once again, you can reach us at kgvm.org, 95.9 FM on the radio dials, or of course, Ian Laird 3 on the Twitters. Do a little house cleanup here right now. Gallatin Valley Sports Show, as always, is brought to you by Spectator Sports Bar and Grill, with countless TVs for all the NFL and college games, located at 19 Ty Lane by the MSU campus. Phone number is 587-2156. That is Spectator Sports Bar and Grill, where the tailgating continues. So moving on to Montana State athletics. Not a ton going on yet. Cross country did start. We'll start talking about that. Volleyball did kick off. And, of course, the Bobcats football team played down in Texas Tech. We'll talk about that one in the next break. But we'll start off with cross country. The Montana State cross country season has traditionally began when the Bobcats host the annual MSU Cross Country Classic at the Bridger Creek Golf Course, but there is a national tournament going on there this week. So the season and the team will travel to lineup of runners to Helena to take part in the Carroll College Early Bird. That opens on Friday, so we'll keep you abreast of how that goes tomorrow. Good luck to all the cross-country runners. MSU is picked to finish probably middle of the pack in both men's and women's. I think they were picked to finish fifth or fourth. And so it should be a good year for them. Carroll College, I don't know how much of a push that's going to be on them. It's a smaller school, but it's a good tune-up instead of going against the number one team in the world like poor Belgrade had to do and has to do again this week. Moving on to volleyball, Montana State senior Alyssa Rizzo. We talked a ton about her last year. She's a stud and a senior. She was named Big Sky Defensive MVP Player of the Week after leading MSU at the Arkansas Classic last weekend in Fayetteville. Rizzo, libero from Crestwood, Illinois, was named to the Arkansas Classic's all-tournament team after averaging 6.23 digs per set to lead the Big Sky Conference. Against Northwestern State, she fell one save shy of Montana State's single-match record, posting a match-high 37 digs and a 7.4 DPS. I guess that's digs per set. We're going to go with that. Against Arkansas, she logged in 26 digs. That was 5.2 digs per set. And against Little Rock, she had 18 digs. That's 6 digs per set. So I just learned that just now. I was wondering what that meant, and I just came up with it on my brain. In volleyball action from last week at that tournament, the Cats proved they belonged there, the University of Arkansas tournament. They did defeat Little Rock, Arkansas in the first game, 3-0. Cats then fell to Northwestern State in a very, very close match. Northwestern State had to come from behind to win it, but they did win it over the Cats, 3-2, 3-2. And fell into ranked, top 25 ranked Arkansas, 3-2 as well. But the Cats almost pulled off the upset there as well. Cats looked to great at times, but overmatched late in matches. And that's kind of what you see in sets and matches when you have a young team and one that doesn't really have the experience that some of these other teams do. This week, the Cats will travel to Loyola University Chicago tournament to face three teams. Friday, they will take on Western Michigan at 9 o'clock in the morning. They will then take on Loyola University Chicago at 6 Friday night. 9 o'clock in the morning, that's early, early, early. The Cats will then wrap up the tournament match against Loyola University of Maryland Saturday morning at 11. Cats golf team doesn't start play for over a week, so they will compete in the Battle of the Old Works Invitational. That is going on September 16th and 17th. Old Works in Anaconda is one of the greatest golf courses in Montana. They have the black slate sand. It's a great one to watch. We'll take another quick break right now and come back with a look at the Bobcats opener versus Texas Tech. Also, a look at Gold Rush games coming up this Saturday night. Once again, tomorrow night, we will have our first ever Hawks football game live on KGVM starting at 7 o'clock. Matt Brownlow will join me. The Hawks take on Missoula Big Sky Eagles. Once again, that is brought to you by Ridge Athletics and Spectator Sports Bar and Grill and the Liquor Spot. Once again, this is the Gallatin Valley Sports Show on KGVM.
He may be bad at sports, but he loves talking about them. You're listening to the Gallatin Valley Sports Show on KGVM.
Gonna play in Texas. You gotta have a fiddle in the band. That lead guitar is hot, but not for Louisiana man. So Raw's enough that both are faded love, and let's all dance. If you're gonna play in Texas, you gotta have a fiddle in the band. I remember down in Houston, we were putting on a show, when a cowboy in the back stood up and yelled, "Hotline Joe!" He said, "We love what you're doing, boys, don't get us wrong, there's just something missing in your song. If you're gonna play in Texas, you gotta have a fiddle in the band. That lead guitar is hot, but not for Louisiana man. So Raw's enough that both are faded love, and let's all dance. If you're gonna play in Texas, you gotta have a fiddle in the band."
Welcome back to the Gallatin Valley Sports Show here on KGVM. My name is Ian Laird. Once again, you can reach us at kgvm.org or 95.9 FM on your radio dials. Or on Ian Laird 3 on the Twitter. If you're gonna play in Texas, you better have some fiddles. Bobcats didn't have enough fiddles, I don't think, last week, as they lost to Big 12 Texas Tech in Lubbock. Texas Tech jumped out to a 2-touchdown lead and never trailed as Montana State football dropped its 2019 season opener to the Red Raiders 45-10 on Saturday, August 31st. I don't know why the August 31st, I typed that in there. We all know what it was. At Jones AT&T Stadium. It's a gorgeous stadium they have down there. The Red Raiders found the end zone on their first two drives of the game to take a 14-0 lead in the first quarter. Quarterback Alan Bowman, who, by the way, Texas Tech was leading when he was the true freshman last year against Oklahoma before he got hurt, and that's when Oklahoma won it. So that's how good this kid is. Just remember that for all you doubters out there that think, well, we lost to Texas Tech. Texas Tech on consecutive drives spanning 85 and 79 yards. We talked about we need to make them drive a long distance, but when we do that, we can't let them score every time. So that was kind of a downfall for the Cats. Montana State got on the board in the second quarter to cut the deficit to a one-score game when Bowman went 7 of 19 passing for the day and threw 120 yards. Isaiah Infante ran for 77 of MSU's 123 yards rushing, which included a 40-yard carry. Steele and Cassis each had three catches for 56 and 31 yards receiving, respectively. Croy Steele also had the lone touchdown catch, a 31-yarder from Bowman as well. The Bobcats' defense forced the lone turnover of the game. Braden Conkle, Tyrell Thomas, Gibson, and Price Jr. all had pass breakups, with Price Jr. leading to a turnover on downs. Conkle had a team-high 9 tackles, while Bryce Stirk, the transfer again from University of Washington, registered a sack for Montana State. Montana State returns home for its second game of the season, home opener as the Bobcats host Southeast Missouri State. We'll just call them SEMO from now on because that's their moniker. That game is Saturday night, September 7th. Kickoff at Bobcat Stadium is at 6 o'clock. Once again, that is the Gold Rush game. So make sure if you're going to the game, you wear your gold attire. So let's take a look at the good, bad, and ugly. We're just going to look at the good and the bad from this last game. First, the good. Cats did move the ball early with some efficiency between quick passes and a solid running game from Afonso. Cats didn't look to be too overmatched in the first and second quarter. Sure, they gave up two quick touchdowns, but came back and were just down 14-7, moving the ball pretty nice. Some very good passes, I think, from Bowman. Casey, the young quarterback, the redshirt freshman quarterback for the Cats, did well against Texas Tech. They were a lot faster. They had some great linebackers, probably the best defense he's going to see all year by far. So I think the Cats did. The good is they did move the ball efficiently. They did have some good passes, not a ton of them, but that's something good that happened. Number two, and you always hate when this is a good, but it is. Punting for the Cats. Jared Padmos proved that he was one of the best punters in the country, the 6'2", 204 senior from Boulder, Montana. Jared Padmos turned in possibly the best performance of his brilliant Bobcat career, punting 9 times for a 51.4 yards per punt average. He allowed only 3 returns, 21 yards total, against a team that averaged 10 yards a punt return each punt last season. Pinned Texas Tech inside its own 20-yard line 3 times and nailed a long of a 63-yarder. Texas Tech averaged starting field position after MSU punts was its own 23-yard line. So that was huge on at least making them drive the whole field. You give up those long punt returns, and all of a sudden you're at first and 10 from the 30-yard line, and they don't have a lot of field to work with. After the season's first week, Padmos is second in the FCS in punting, averaging 51.4 yards per punt, and the Bobcats stand third nationally with a net punting yards of 46.89. Now on to the bad. And it's hard really to say there was any bad in this game. They were playing Texas Tech. They're a very good team. They're going to be top 25 here in the next couple of weeks. I think that they're going to push for the Big 12 championship. Again, that's from my maroon or my blue and gold glasses. Maroon is a terrible color. Don't ever say it again. But so it's hard to say something was bad about it. Oh, these kids, they went down there and played a Big 12 team and they didn't win. Get over it. It happens. I didn't like some of the bad. I didn't like that they didn't give Bowman more chances. He did play a lot of the game, but they seemed like they platooned out a lot. All of a sudden, Rovig would be in for a series. All of a sudden, they'd try to throw Anderson back there, a quarterback, for a series. Bowman didn't do bad. I don't like the fact that they're not lining him under. I think a bad in this, and maybe they will in the future, and they were just playing vanilla. I know Coach Choate has said that they were playing kind of a vanilla offense this last week because they just didn't want anybody to get hurt, and they don't want to show film to these other teams and how they'll do. but I wish they would have lined up. The kid is 6'7", 240 pounds or something like that, for God's sakes. Line him under center when it's third and inches. Don't put him in shotgun and try to have Afonso try to have to run 6 yards to gain a half yard. He's not Barry Sanders. He's pretty close, but he's not there yet. So I wish they would have done put Bauman in a little better situation there to take advantage of that. But I think they're kind of, like we said, playing a little vanilla. The number two thing that could have been a bad, and again, I'm not saying it was, it's just something I noticed, is linebackers seem to be overthinking plays and then playing slow. It was the first game, Hill's first game back in a year after countless surgeries. He almost had to retire. Ackleson played great. I think he's going to be a stud. He's only a redshirt freshman, but he started. Anderson played well, but looked lost at times, but it was his first game at linebacker. Again, I really don't think this is a huge bad, and they're just going up against a really, really good team that's fast and all that. So if you want to pick two bads, which I had to because I picked two goods, the second one would be linebackers played a little slow. So we'll see how that goes. So let's put that game away. Texas Tech is done. They're a very, very good team. We lost by a bunch. Everybody in the Big Sky is going to lose games like that to these bigger schools. You take your $500,000 or $550,000, whatever they paid us, you put it in the bank, and then you just put that game away. So let's take a look at the huge game that's coming up for the Cats this weekend. SEMO comes to Bozeman with the highest-ranked team to visit Bobcat Stadium since number 4 South Dakota State in 2017. Red Hawks are led by reigning Buck Buchanan Award winner Zach Hall. At linebacker, he is a stud. This year, the SEMO is 1-0 after a 44-26 win over Southern Illinois of the Missouri Valley Conference. Southern Illinois is garbage, so you can't take a lot from that game either. SEMO logged a 9-4 record to finish the second in the Ohio Valley Conference last year behind JMU, I believe it was. James Madison, I think, is who they went behind, who's like number 2 team in the country, so don't put a lot of effort into that. Won an FCS playoff game in the first round after dropping it, and then dropped a close decision to Weber State. They lost to Weber State way more than we lost to Weber State, so there, you can look at that as a good omen for this one. You can't, but whatever. SEMO is one of 7 Ohio Valley teams to win its opener. SEMO was picked to finish second in the OVC. Southern Missouri enters Saturday's game ranked 12th in the nation. Bobcats are 13th. So this is a top 15 matchup. It's going to be great. It's the 29th meeting between two nationally ranked teams at Bobcat Stadium. Cats are 17-11 against ranked opponents, and Bobcat Stadium 7-5 in opening games, pitting two teams ranked in the top 15. That's a lot of stats. SEMO's led in rushing by Zion Curtis. He averages 78 yards a game, and Geno Hess, who averages 77, so they're big on running. Passing, and I'm only going to say this name once, Daniel Santacaraterina. Santacaraterina is the kid's last name. Daniel Santacaraterina passed for 248 yards on 14 of 24 with one interception and one touchdown in the opening game. Receivers to look at, Christian Wilkerson, had 6 catches for 146 yards in that first game. Tackles, of course, with Zach Hall with 19. So what do the Bobcats need to do to pull out this victory? Number one, put pressure on the quarterback. Santacaraterina, DS we'll call him from now on, is a very, very good quarterback. He lit up the team last week, the Salukis. They're not a great team, but we don't want to get into a shooting match on something like this, so you need to put pressure on him. Cats have to make him work for every yard. It can't turn into a shootout, and the Cats have to rely on a freshman quarterback to pick them up when it is that kind of a shootout. Cats must find a way to throw the ball early and often. I know we don't like to do that. I know the Cats are a run-first team, but they've got to be able to open that up. If not, SEMO's just going to stack the box. And when you have a Buck Buchanan, which, by the way, is the top defender in the country of FCS last year, returning this year, you're not going to want him to be in the box. You need him to be thinking about dropping back. Is he going to blitz? Whatever there. So if we're just going to be a run-first team, it's going to be a long, long day. Cats have to win the turnover battle, I think, by at least 2. You have to take the ball away, of course, in shortened possessions of SEMO. But again, it can't turn into a shootout. So take the ball away a couple times, drag out the game, make it a little longer, and I think you'll be in good shape. And the final one, win field position battle. With Padmos killing it as a punter, this should be a big favor for the Cats, starting them within their 20 every time, making them drive the whole field, not giving them short fields. Don't turn the ball over. Win the turnover battle, have them start way back in their own field position, should be really, really good for the Cats. So my prediction for the game, my heart says Cats come out fired up and win 32-17. My heart is always wrong because it's my heart. My head says the Cats will slow down SEMO just enough to pull off the win. I'm saying the Cats win. My head says 28-21 in a lower scoring game than a lot of people think and a closer one than I think a lot of people hope. Well, that'll do it for the show. Once again, tomorrow night, we will have our first ever Hawks football game live on KGVM starting at 7 o'clock. Matt Brownlow will join me in the booth as the Hawks take on Missoula Big Sky Eagles. Once again, that is on KGVM.org or 95.9 FM on your radio dial. That is brought to you by Ridge Athletics and Spectator Sports Bar and Liquor Spot. This has been the Gallatin Valley Sports Show on KGVM.